welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Again, more conversation. You can't watch, but you can listen. And you can read and follow the constant conversation on Twitter. It's the best time for you to have your best friends around you. I've got a couple of best friends and best besties around me. I'm Doug Steffen. Victoria Keelan is here. Kara Schillen is here. Here's a round of applause. This is from the Good News Department. Actually, a couple of interesting things relating to Orlando that are good. JetBlue offering free flights to and from Orlando for the people who are close to the victims that were involved in this attack in Orlando. JetBlue also offering a free waiver for customers traveling to or from Orlando who need to make last-minute travel changes in or out of Orlando. JetBlue is the third largest, I think, of all the airlines providing service in and out of Orlando. The airline said it wants to do our part, quote, to help the victims of the tragedy as well as support the Orlando community through this difficult time. So there's something there. Disney, headquartered in Orlando, donates $1 million to the victims. How is that going to be metered out? Is it just to take 50 and divide it into a million and give everybody... What would that turn out to be? $200,000 a piece? Is that how this is working? Not $200,000. $20,000 a piece. What do we know about the $1 million Disney's giving?
I'm not sure. Some sort of foundation or scholarship, maybe? I'm not sure. I don't know if it's individually going to families or victims' families.
Well,
I don't know that it's been broken down yet.
Which, for them, is a splash in the pan, but it's okay. It's an effort.
Yeah.
Prince William and the Duchess of Cambridge visited the U.S. Embassy in London to pay respects to the victims, signed a book of condolence. What we are not focused on a lot here is how much the rest of the world, or let's put it this way, the civilized world is sort of rallying around, if that's the right word. People who have been in countries, certainly the French have been, and the Belgians have been, where these sorts of things have taken place, not for the same reason, at least not outwardly. It doesn't seem like it was for the same reason. But anyway, there is more. I don't remember a time other than September 11th when the world absolutely was at our doorstep. But this is since September 11th, this is the first time I felt like there was a lot of support. And I don't even know what that word means, support. But there's interest and there's attention being paid, but for the same reason that we pay attention to what's happened over there, it is the world is so small, it's so easy to get around. We see it in health news of people who get sick in Africa, bring it to America, and then you relate to what's going on over there.
Right.
In this circumstance, this guy had roots. We've become England has when I was spending a lot of time there in the 70s and 80s. It was very obvious to me that the city of London itself and the country was changing dramatically and quickly because a lot of what were the former protectorates were, especially when the changes happened in South Africa and people were not comfortable there, man, they came en masse to London. And all the British Commonwealth nations, you can travel as if you're a member, you are a member of the British League, if you will. Australia, South Africa, probably most notable, Canada. And it's through that, by the way, you know, we think, oh, isn't it interesting and fun that all these people sound alike? Well, it really is. There's a broader picture here if you understand what the British imperialism was all about in the 1700s. Yeah. They were conquering every place, everywhere. They were all around the world, and that's where the British Empire came from. So the reason that all these people that you hear sound alike is because they have taken the language and developed it, certainly with their own accent ague, if you will. But there is, you can tell. And so it's interesting that now we look upon that as a positive, but it wasn't really. So London and mostly southern, but Birmingham and Manchester got to be different, too. And you go down south a little bit, south and and west of London. You see dramatic changes in that country in the last 30 or 40 years because of all the Muslims that have come in from all around the world, but many of them from their protectorates. And it has changed the landscape dramatically. This isn't a value judgment whether it's right or wrong, but it has changed dramatically the landscape there. And so, but it's, I don't look at England as any more than a quick, it takes me as long to fly from Boston to London as it does for me to get on a plane and fly from Boston to Los Angeles. I do it, and it's, when you get there, it's like a different world, but yet it isn't. It feels, for me anyway, being in England makes me feel very comfortable and at home. And I'm not one who pays a lot of attention to skin color. We've established that already, and religion and that kind of stuff. So I just see them as people. But it's interesting to watch them. The British are upset. The British are upset because there's so much of a change in their country, so much immigration. And now with the focus on these, all of these refugees from the Middle East, it's even more chaotic. And they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so we over here, we're trying to grapple with it. We don't know what to do either. Nobody knows what to do.
Well, it's confusing. It's complex. I mean, there's so many layers to it.
Yeah. But it is forcing change faster. We were talking last hour, so I'll bring you up to date on that conversation a little bit about how things have changed in the past 30 or 40 years in our country, values and that sort of thing. But there are other things that have changed too, race things that have changed a lot. But there still is a core there of resistance to the change. And that's happening in England as well. And now you see it bubble up. But before, because the British are much more refined to the outside world. If you spend any time in England, they're really characters. They're very, very expressive. And but you don't always get that because they are on their best behavior oftentimes when they're around people who are not Brits. But among their own group, they are very expressive. And so I find it interesting. The Prince and Duchess came to the embassy. I thought that was kind of cool. Members of the American Muslim Community Center in Longwood, Florida, paid respects and offered prayers in a special event watched by non-Muslims. Anyway, the point of this conversation was, though, that the blood drive saw amazing results. And that was, I haven't had time to give myself, but I want to give blood. Let me just back up a little bit, because some of you may not know what Speaker Ryan said. There's been a backlash, and understandably so, and appropriately so, to Trump and his business about Muslims, whether he needs to clarify it more. I mean, there are a lot of people who agree that we have let this thing, whatever it is, get out of control, not just with Muslims, but we just have too many immigrants who are coming here who don't, they're just here to suck off of the taxpayer. There are islands like this all around the country where certain people or groups of people come in and they know how the system works. We've made it easy. Guys like Ryan have voted for plans to make it easy for people to make money who aren't even American citizens, who for many reasons don't have any reason for being here other than they know that they can get something for nothing. So anyway, but the focus on Trump and trying to fix that and some of his outrageous statements about Muslims and Mexicans and stuff, I mean, you're not going to do what he's suggesting anyway, but it sort of tips, because the scales have gotten so distorted because we have so many immigrants who are here, not just Hispanics, but they're here and they're not doing anything. They're not contributing. When I was a kid growing up, the people who were here, they were immigrants, came here. They were thrilled to get an education. They were thrilled to stay because they were contributing. And now there are so many people, depending on what part of the world they come from, they just come and do nothing. And we allow that and in some cases encourage it because it leads to them voting for the party that voted to give them nothing in the first place. At any rate, what Ryan said yesterday
was, how can they vote if they're illegal immigrants?
Are you kidding? Go to Chicago. The thing that Ryan, anybody can vote. What do you mean? How can they vote? You can go vote and don't have to show an ID. I could bring somebody who is an illegal immigrant to go vote at the polling place where I vote. And if I knew that somebody was out of town, my next door neighbor, I could bring this person to vote in that guy's name, because he doesn't have to show who he is. He just has to say, oh, I'm George Flush from 18 Vernon Street. And they'll give him a vote, give him a ballot, and he could vote.
Wouldn't that be risky on the part of the illegal immigrant who might get caught?
No, not at all. They don't know. They don't catch anybody. They don't
I don't know.
They don't even, look at you. They just say, what's your address, please? They look down at the piece of paper. And then
no, I know that, and I agree that there should be an ID. Absolutely. I mean, it's not hard to get an ID. I agree with all that. But I just don't know how many illegal immigrants are doing that.
I think there are plenty of them doing it. Anyway, the point about what Ryan said to sort of get in the face of Trump on the Muslims, he made it clear in his statement, there is no war against Islam. This is a war against those who are terrorizing us, whoever they may be, wherever they may be from. This is not about the Muslim religion or Islam. It's about the people who have been radicalized, whether they're Islamic or whether they're gay. I mean, we got radical Christians, for God's sakes. You get radical of everything. They're radical Americans. So that's where the battle is, and I think he's right about that. 21 after the hour here on Good Day. Like a lot of you, I used to struggle with my rest. That was before I met Mike Lindell and was fit for MyPillow. This is a different story now. MyPillow is fit to me. It'll be fit to you. How you sleep, how you're on your side or your back. MyPillow fits perfectly. At night, you move the patented MyPillow fill to the right place for you. It'll support your head, your neck. It'll cradle you, and you'll get a great night's sleep. This is a life changer. MyPillow doesn't go flat. It doesn't get hot. And the patented fill stays put. You'll like it, and you'll sleep like a baby. Here's the special offer. Buy one MyPillow, and you'll get another one for your partner free. Two pillows for the price of one. Don't get another bad night's rest. Call 800-874-8985. That's 800-874-8985. Use the promo code DS for your free pillow. Start sleeping better right away. Call 800-874-8985 or go to MyPillow.com. Be sure to use the promo code DS.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This Gold Glove third baseman was solid in the regular season, but shined during the postseason. And he was named the 1998 World Series MVP.
Rocious hits one in the left. Back at the wall. The Yankees have tied it again.
So where is Scott Brocious now? Scott moved from the Yankees' hot corner right into the dugout as an assistant coach at his alma mater, Linfield College in Oregon. In 2008, he became the team's manager and posted a record of 133-49. And he was named Northwestern Conference Coach of the Year three times.
There's a lot of life after baseball, and this is really what it's all about. It's preparing ourselves for the rest of our lives.
Looks like Scott found his field of dreams. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. At HappylandAudio.com, you can hear interviews with Hall of Fame artists telling their stories their own words. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com.
Think green.
Harrison with you. With gas prices hitting $4 a gallon, millions of American parents are still stuck driving their children to and from school, followed by back-to-back activities. Now the old-fashioned notion of carpooling has picked up renewed steam again. But today, coordinating carpool schedules, pickup times, and last-minute schedule changes have become logistical nightmares. Enter Divide the Ride, a carpooling website that automatically organizes carpools between families for free. It creates carpool schedules between trusting families, then emails and texts everybody. Even sends email reminders. You can save on expensive gas and emissions. It's all at DivideTheRide.com. From the Greeniverse, this is Harrison.
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.